Hello everyone, I'm Steve Norman. Hong Kong pro-democracy protest may intensify today following a warning by student leaders who say they will occupy government buildings and the territory's chief executive does not resign. Student leaders on Wednesday said Chief Executive Leung Chun-ying must step down by the end of the day today or they will storm the buildings. Raising the stakes in the standoff could trigger another round of confrontations between protesters and police, who are unlikely to allow government buildings to be illegally occupied. The warning came as tens of thousands of protesters amassed for a fourth day on Wednesday and continue to occupy three main areas of Hong Kong in an effort to push China to enact certain democratic reforms. Wednesday was also the 65th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. 25 years ago, China was a still relatively young country with much turmoil in its short history when millions of workers from all walks of life joined students protesting for democracy on Tiananmen Square and throughout the country. Western experts say hundreds were killed, possibly more, but China says no one died on Tiananmen Square. That movement was centered in the heart of Beijing, not far from the leadership's compound. After weeks of growing protests, the leaders fell back on classic Chinese communist theory, concluding that the protests were an insidious form of chaos that threatened the ruling position of the party. They acted decisively and violently to end it. What is happening in the relatively isolated former British colony of Hong Kong is somewhat different right now. Former British diplomat Roderick Y, who was posted at the British Embassy in Beijing in the 1980s and 90s, is now at London's Chatham House.
What happens in Hong Kong at the moment is not going to threaten the very existence of the Chinese state in the way that Tiananmen did.
And so far, China has been more restrained in its criticism of the Occupy Central protest, saying only that they are illegal and undermine the rule of law and sabotage social stability, in the words of Foreign Ministry spokesman Hua Chunying. But Y tells VOA Chinese leaders feel some urgency to end the protest.
They clearly don't want something similar to happen in China, because if it did start happening, then I think, yes, we could be back in a situation sort of parallel to Tiananmen. And that is something that the Chinese government will do their utmost to avoid.
Y says although the Tiananmen crackdown has suppressed dissent in China for the past 25 years, Chinese leaders don't want to use the same tactics in Hong Kong.
If they did have the involvement from the People's Armed Police or the Chinese military, that would effectively be the end of one country, two systems. And I don't think that's what they want at the moment.
Chinese study professor Françoise Laurent at the Free University of Brussels tells VOA she thinks it's a big challenge and quite an uncomfortable situation, and that all of China is watching Hong Kong now. She believes the Chinese leaders could be afraid of a kind of contagious disease for their system. So far, that's not happened. And from the other side, Roderick Y says there is a sort of growing Hong Kong identity. Françoise Laurent believes that differentness might help Chinese leaders prevent the Hong Kong democracy movement from spreading. She thinks that they can say that Hong Kong is a post-colonial society or that they've been contaminated by Western people. But there is the potential of a more subtle impact, according to Laurent. She says she's not sure the majority of people in China are interested in free elections, but she believes the way the people of Hong Kong are gathering and the way that they've organized themselves may give the Chinese some ideas. Roderick Y says Hong Kong people also have some other topics on their minds, like a more Western-style education system and direct election of the legislature as well as the chief executive.
Even if there is a solution, and let's hope that there is a solution, the problem won't go away because that's just one step.
Hong Kong's status as a special administrative region grew out of more than 100 years of British colonial rule and the Sino-British Joint Declaration for the Return of Hong Kong to Chinese Sovereignty that negotiated in 1984 and implemented in 1997. The breakthrough concept of one country, two systems came from then-Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping. The idea was that Hong Kong would continue with its capitalist economic system and Western style while coming under Chinese communist rule. Deng did not want China's most successful city to decline, just as he was seeking to bring the rest of the country up to Hong Kong's level. Well, the concept also included a separate political system for Hong Kong with levels of freedom and civil liberties that other Chinese citizens did not have and still don't. But the joint declaration was vague in the question of democracy, stating that the people of Hong Kong would have a say in choosing their chief executive through elections or consultations, but that he or she would be appointed by a central government in Beijing. It also specifies the local legislature would be chosen through elections, but it does not define who can vote or run for office. Initially, China accepted the changes, but after the Tiananmen movement and crackdown in 1989 and protest in Hong Kong supporting the movement, the two sides' view of the city's democratic future diverged to where it is today. This report was written by VOA's Al Pessin, who was the VOA Hong Kong correspondent from 1984 to 1987, and Beijing correspondent from 1987 to 1989. He was expelled from China for his coverage of the Tiananmen protest and crackdown.